Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. My name is Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today, ladies, we are actually doing part two of our talk on faith and that saving faith versus the demon faith. Even the demons believe in the facts. And we touched on that yesterday. Today, we want to continue right where we left off. And if you missed yesterday's podcast, go to naomistable.com and check it out. Just look under the podcast tab there, and we'll have that ready for you. But today we're talking about building our faith. Why is that so hard for a lot of people? Why do we tend to struggle with our faith? Nancy, any thoughts?
Well, at least we are not the first to do that.
No.
And he knows we struggle with our faith. I look at Mark 4:40, where Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Or you look at, for instance, when he still the waters, and he says, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" That's in Luke 8:25. And you have to understand, these disciples had already seen Jesus perform many, many miracles, and yet they were still like that. So he knows we do struggle with faith.
I think about the Israelites, even going back when Moses, here they saw him part the Red Sea. They saw the glory cloud of God lead them in the desert, and still they grumbled and they lost their faith, a lot of them did. And we are like that today. It's part of our nature. It's part of the fall of our sin nature. We tend to believe what we see instead of what we've seen God actually do, and in the truth of his word. And that's key right there. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith and not sight." And that's what we're supposed to do. Many of us get that mixed up, ladies. The Apostle Paul tells Christians to walk by faith and not sight. But what we see here is a contrast between the truth and perception, and what we know and believe to be true and what we perceive to be true. So this is where I think we struggle, Nancy, with this lack of faith. And the main reason why so many of us struggle with this is because we follow what we see, our perception. It's like, well, I kind of experienced this. And by the way, women are masters at trusting their intuition, their experiences, and their feelings rather than the truth that they know in the Bible that actually shapes our faith.
Yeah. I think that when you look at how subject to our emotions we are, it is easy for women to get all mired in their circumstances rather than holding on to that faith in God and who he is. You know, I think about, for instance, when you look at when Jesus was talking to them about, why are you worrying? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear? The pagans do that. Oh, ye of little faith. And if we're not looking at God to supply our regular needs, you have to ask yourself, do you really believe he can? Is that the issue? Or is it that you want to do it yourself? You want to have control.
Yeah, I think there's a third option there as well. And that's, and I'm going to speak to the biblical illiteracy that Nancy and I are pretty passionate about because, ladies, you know, if you're not in your word, you don't know him. And so I think another reason that we struggle with our faith is that we truly don't know the God of the Bible. We know kind of what we were taught in childhood. We know kind of our presuppositions about him that are based on other things that really aren't found in Scripture. So, you know, think about this. In our daily lives, we don't put our trust in complete strangers. So the more intimately we know somebody and the more we have time to spend with him, the more we're going to trust him. And then we're going to be likely, or at least more likely, to believe in what he says to be true. We spend time with God by opening up our Scripture, by studying his word. And we do that every day because, you know what, when we don't do that every day as a regular habit, then we wander away from the truth and we start believing in our own experiences again.
Yeah. And I I really think that this emphasizes why the path is narrow and few find it, that it's hard to really have that kind of faith. It's hard to have that kind of intimacy when you have all of your senses telling you something different. And I think that's why he said in Luke 18:8, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Yeah.
So he knew that there were not going to be many that would be able to have that kind of faith. Now, is it because that kind of faith is impossible to have? No, it's not impossible. You've listed some very good ways of how you can grow your faith, learning the Word, learning to trust in Him and not in your senses, growing closer to Him so that you know Him more intimately and you can trust Him more. Trust Him with your heart. Trust Him with your finances. Trust Him with all of your needs and your circumstances. So it is certainly achievable. It's just that I think sometimes we don't want to do those things. We want to be able to maintain that level of control.
Yeah. And ladies, I can't say this verse enough, and we've said it here before in these last days. It's from Romans 10:17. I want to say it again, because where does faith come from? It doesn't come bubbling up out of nowhere. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Well, that's our scripture.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You know, I think about Peter in the Last Supper.
Yeah.
When he's telling Jesus that even if everyone else abandons him, that he will still stick by him to death. And Jesus tells to him, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And Peter swears that he's not. But Jesus tells him, look, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But when you have come to yourself, strengthen your brothers. And he actually tells Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Mm-hmm. So Jesus himself is our advocate with the Lord. He himself is concerned with our faith. And he himself wants it to stand firm in that day of trial.
Yeah, you remember, Nancy, when even after the resurrection, when the apostles were so excited, they had seen Jesus, and there was Thomas, who just doubted it all, and Jesus came and had Thomas put his hands on the wounds, in his side and in his wrists, and Thomas believed at last and responded in worship. But remember, he had to see Jesus face to face. We have the blessed scriptures. We can be with him face to face through his word. And someday our faith will be our sight, and we don't have to worry about not seeing Jesus. And he'll be right in front of us for all eternity. So, ladies, that is such a powerful thing. And I just hope that that's inspired you today. There's so much more to say about faith, but we're going to have you dig through scriptures and find those verses for yourself, because it's one thing to listen to a radio program or a podcast, quite another to study on your own. And that's what we're hoping that you will do. And speaking of studying, we're going to do some studying together right now. We're going to open up the Word of God again to the book of Galatians. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is standing by with today's lesson. And that starts right now.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, today we're going to continue in our study in Galatians, and we're on day 13 today, and we're going to be in Galatians 4. I've titled this lesson, Quit Refastening Your Own Chains. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 8 through 11. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Formerly, the Gentile people in Galatia worshipped all kinds of gods who were not God. When Paul came and taught the Gentiles about the one true God, they believed Paul and followed Christ. Also, when Paul came, many Jews believed in the Messiah and were saved to follow Christ. However, it appears that in Paul's absence, that has changed. Part of that change is as a result of the Judaizers coming in and telling them that they must be circumcised to be saved. The Judaizers were also insisting that those festivals and holidays must still be followed as if they were required by God, or as if they could earn favor or brownie points with God. And part of that was also the nature of the Gentile people in Galatia, going back to what they had always done, worship the Greco-Roman pantheon of gods. Paul is very critical of the Galatian believers here, even wondering aloud if all that he has taught them has been for naught, as they return to their legalistic practices to earn their salvation through their works. The Galatian church is in a very real danger of losing the prize they sought, eternal life, as they return to a works-based salvation. They have already been shown that they have justification through Christ alone. Why would they exchange that now for attempted justification by their own works? Suppose that as a child, when you asked your father to spell out for you your whole name, including your middle name, so you could memorize it, that your father spelled your middle name wrong. You spend time memorizing the spelling of your name until you know it by heart. Then one day, your kind-hearted, sweet first-grade teacher, Mrs. Johnson, is conducting assessments on her students, and when it is your turn and she asks you to spell your whole name, you proudly do so, only to find out that, actually, you've been spelling your middle name wrong. There's an E that you've been adding, based off of the information of your father, that isn't actually in your middle name. Well, you'll be embarrassed, but more than that, you are now faced with the task of unlearning the incorrect spelling of your name and relearning the correct spelling. Not that I would know from experience or anything. Years later, you still have to pause when writing out your entire name to make sure that you spell it correctly. Or consider perhaps a woman who has been married for 2 years, who has easily made a habit out of writing her new last name when she signs forms, suddenly finds one day when she's tired that she signed a document with her maiden name instead of her married name. Again, not that I know anything about that either. What's the point I'm making? The point is this. When you start off with wrong information, as the Gentiles did, and truly as the Jewish converts did. Remember, they were waiting for a military Messiah. They were legalistically trying to keep the law and were acting based on false premises. Once you get the right information, it is so hard to keep it all straight. You have to unlearn the incorrect and relearn the correct, and yet those ingrained old habits are there. And you never know when you'll find yourself falling back into those habits without thinking about them. That's the point that Paul is trying to make here, I believe. Becoming a believer is absolutely the free gift of God, no question. However, it does bring with it serious responsibility for the believer. We are called to be set apart, to put off our old self and put on Christ. This is not a passive process, but an active one, and one that we must constantly be careful of, lest we fall back into those old patterns. And we'll be more likely to fall back into those old patterns when we are not spending time with God. The drug addict who returns to the same old friends after being in rehab, it won't be long before they're back to doing drugs. Just like that drug addict, we must remember that we are new creations, and we must be constantly on alert, if you will, to take captive our thoughts and to do everything for His glory, not our own. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, "Be anxious in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, think about these things." I love that Paul gives sound counsel as he comforts that church in Philippi. See, Paul knew that what you put into your brain, just as what you put into your body, is what comes out of you. Feed your body junk, you're going to feel cruddy, right? Feed your brain junk, anything that contradicts or does not agree with the Bible, and you won't know the truth when you see it, and you'll anesthetize yourself to what Scripture truly says. So Paul offers hope to these people in Philippi, reminding them to pray and to give praise to God, even in the midst of great persecution. And then Paul warns them to guard their minds. Ladies, we choose every day what we are going to worship. Is it TV, popular culture, music, food, fashion, money, safety, your children, your spouse, anything that comes between you and God, anything that you are more focused on than God, anything that you seek above God is an idol, and anything can be an idol. My idols are different than yours, which is why we have to be careful to make sure we are spending time in the Word daily and refocusing ourselves on Him. I admit one of my idols is peace and calm. There are times when I snap at my children and spouse simply because my idol or my treasure at that moment was sitting on the couch, ignoring everyone around me. When it comes down to it, though, is my veg time being interrupted any reason for me to yell at my child who needs help? No. But instead of serving my son with a cheerful heart, he gets snapped at because at that moment, my treasure was being on the couch. It's not a pretty picture. The picture of the Gentile converts in Galatia is an especially hard one to look at. These people of Galatia, these Gentiles from outside the law, have been brought in by God to the inheritance promised to Abraham. How cool is that? God opened the door for them, showed them the light, opened their eyes to the inheritance. He knew them well before they knew of Him. God drew them to Him, showed them His love through Christ, and views them with more than approval through Christ's blood, but with delight. He took special care of these people, and what's happened? Are they grateful? Do they understand that it was God who saw them, way before they even looked for Him? Do they see that the only reason they love Him is, as 1 John 4:19 tells us, because He first loved them? Do they recognize what they've been given? Sure doesn't look that way. They're returning to worshiping idols made of stone and celebrating those dead gods. They are relying on those special days and observances to save them, instead of remembering that the only way they can be saved is through Christ's blood. Period. Now, I want to be sure and say this because this seems to be an issue still to this day. It is not sinful to observe special days. Romans 14 talks in much more depth about special days and how we should view them, but what we need to realize is that there will be matters like these where we can agree to disagree, and we must not violate our own consciences and the leading of the Holy Spirit. However, when we count on those celebrations or special days to save us or to give us something that we want, we're fooling ourselves. Think about how many people you know who are Christmas and Easter believers. That is, they come to church twice a year, and voila, they think that that's enough, right? Did you know that this has become so common that there's actually a term to describe these people? Well, these people come on the important days. They should be covered, right? Wrong. Showing up twice a year for church is just as hypocritical as those who show up every Sunday for church, but live the rest of the week just like the world. Ladies, if your heart is truly His, if you've truly given yourself to Him, there will be a difference in how you act. The Holy Spirit is within you now, and there will be things that you've never even thought twice about before that you can have no part in now. What you were once enslaved to, what you once worshipped, no longer has the same hold on you. It may be a TV show you used to love, but you now see that it is poisoning your heart and mind. It may be music you used to listen to, friends you used to be very close with, whom you now see only occasionally. These are just a few of the ways that we will be set apart when we become followers of Christ. So, it is important to consider why you celebrate what you celebrate. Is it because it's just what we do? Ultimately, instead of just going along with the traditions you have accepted, you need to consider what those traditions are and what impact they have. It might end up with you saying, well, this is neutral, and you decide to continue celebrating it. You may end up saying, wow, I didn't realize how much this actually points to God, and you'll find new ways to celebrate a day. Or you may end up seeing the ways that what you celebrate actually pulls you away from God, distracts from Him, and is dishonoring to Him, and you may choose to end that tradition. Ultimately, whatever we do, we need to do unto the Lord, not just going along with the crowd. Every day should be a day of worship and praise and thankfulness to Him, even in the mundaneness of changing diapers and wiping noses. My question for us today is this. What habits or patterns that were part of who you were before Christ came into your life have you fallen back into? Are those habits harmful or helpful? If they're harmful, do you know you need to repent and call out to God to help you not to be enslaved to that habit anymore? What areas in your life are you being diligent in assuring that you don't fall back into sinful patterns? What areas in your life do you need to be more diligent in? Take these issues to God. Ask Him to help you to be diligent and to remain focused on Him first and foremost, today and every day. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com. Day 3, Quit Refastening Your Own Chains.
Ladies, that was the Bible study lesson. I'm so glad that Beth has put these together so beautifully. And again, as she said, notes for this are on our Bible studies tab, naomistable.com. We're in Galatians chapter 4 today, just three little verses. And Nancy, those Gentiles had some learning to do, didn't they?
Yeah, and I like how she gave the background of them, so you kind of got a feel for what they were struggling with, you know, the pantheistic pagans. And if you go to Rome and you see the Pantheon, and I think that's off of the Piazza Navona or something like that, somewhere around there. And when Constantine converted to Christianity, he didn't convert forsaking all the other gods. No, he just added the God of the Christians to everything else that he worships. So you looked in the Pantheon and they actually put up, I think, a bust or a memorial or something to that God, but it was there along with all the others that were still there.
Yeah, and there was a lot of political power and reasoning for why he did what he did to so-called convert. I put bunny ears around that because we really don't know. All we do know is that it changed everything when he did.
Yeah. Yeah. But you could easily see how it was so easy for these Gentiles to gravitate back into those special day observances, the rituals, all of those sorts of things that they had believed saved them. So I really could feel for Paul here. And he had taught them everything he knew, but he was afraid that all that time and effort he had poured into them to teach them the truth was utterly wasted. Yeah. And you have to remember, for someone like Paul, he was driven to proclaim the gospel to as many people in as many places as quickly as possible. He was driven.
He once said,
I can't do anything else, but it compels me. So the thought that all of the time and effort he had spent on the Galatians was wasted, that thought was devastating to him.
It really was. And we should be devastated, too, when we start to go back to our old ways. And ladies, many of you, and I know Nancy and I, too, we've come from backgrounds where we were walking on a path, but it was fraught with maybe little side paths and things that took us into other beliefs, if you will, that weren't really found in Scripture. And so do we, in moments of weakness or times when we've maybe left the Bible gathering dust in the corner, do we tend to revert back to what we've always known? And that's a really good question. I know, Nancy, you came from a background. I came from Unitarianism, and I've shared that many times here, where I do tend to sometimes, if I'm tired or something like that, I start thinking, well, what does this really mean to me, rather than what does it mean? And what is God saying here? Instead, I tend to say, you know, maybe it's maybe I can make it into, no, Amy, no, stop. I mean, this happens to anybody, and it can happen to anyone at any maturity level.
And I like how she talked about needing to unlearn what you have previously learned. So we talked about where the Gentiles were. Well, the Jews, they had been seeking a military Messiah. They thought that the Messiah was going to overthrow the Romans. So they totally ignored all the scriptures, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, that talked about a suffering Messiah. They just wanted the ruling Messiah. So they really needed to unlearn everything they thought was right, and they needed to look at the scriptures that they knew by heart, pretty much, in a different way from the way they always had looked at them.
You know,
it wasn't
Nancy,
that the scriptures changed, But the way they looked at him was.
And I want to go back to what I just said, because I don't want you to think that I'm constantly reverting back to Unitarianism. No, that isn't it. But I mean, you know, we can go back and look at things in a way that maybe we looked at before we became students of the word. So don't worry, I'm not reverting. That's not going to happen.
We won't let her. Don't worry about that. Yeah. But the question that Beth asked is a good one. Am I falling back into sinful patterns that I had before coming to Christ?
Yeah, that is a very good question. And ladies, it's one we need to ask often. Not that we're losing our faith or anything like that, but how is our thinking lining up with Scripture? And so many of us, I think, try to make Scripture line up with our own reasoning, and that ought not to be done. We ought to be continually tweaking ourselves to line up with the truth of God's Word.
And, you know, I think a lot of it is rooted in people-pleasing.
Yeah.
You know, you want to hang out with your old friends. You love them. You'd love for them to come to Christ, but you don't want to offend them. You don't want to turn them off. And so maybe you soft-pedal the gospel, soft-pedal the change that's made in you, and continue to do the things that cause you to blend in with them, because that's how you're going to be accepted. Well, remember, Jesus said, if you don't love me more than your father, your mother, your own children, you're not worthy of being mine. We need to keep that in mind as we maneuver these relationships.
A good reminder for all of us, Nancy. So as we close out the program today, Nancy, you've got some scripture verses that you'd like to end up with. What did you find there?
Real short. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1. And in this section, Paul actually quotes from Habakkuk, a verse that's repeated quite often. But starting at verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith."
Oh, thank you, Nancy. And ladies, if you'd like to study Romans or even Habakkuk a little bit more in depth, it just so happens that we have both of those archived in our Bible Studies tab, along with this one in Galatians that you just did today. So do check out our Bible Studies, Old and New Testament, right at naomistable.com. And we invite you back here tomorrow for the next installment in our study of Galatians. Until then, have a blessed day in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.